As most of you know, that's taken from Isaiah 26. It says, trust ye, says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he or she trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Or in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, or the rock of ages. If only we could keep our minds stayed on him, we would have such peace, wouldn't we? But the flesh is so weak. Colossians 1. Go to Colossians 1 with me now. I was working on a message from chapter 2. I read it and was enjoying it and working on it. And I decided to go back and read the first chapter. And it was a blessing. So we need to go through this book. I did not realize that we just looked at these first few verses in June of this year. I'm sure you remember it well. I didn't. Not too long ago, we looked at this book, to Grounded and Settled, in chapter 1. But so take heart. If I didn't remember it, it's okay if you didn't. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. He wrote it at the same time as the epistle to Ephesians. It sounds very similar, doesn't it? It's a wonderful, wonderful book. Colossians, just glorious. I'm looking forward to it, greatly looking forward to it. But Paul was in prison where God put him to write this book and Ephesians. Aren't you glad that the Lord put Paul in prison? That was a severe trial, wasn't it? He was beaten and put in prison. Why? Why? Don't you know? The church was asking, why did this happen to our beloved brother, Paul? Well, we know, don't we? He wrote this epistle. Aren't you glad? Paul was glad. He said, the things that happened to me fell out to the furtherance of the gospel. He said, I'm a prisoner of hope. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He put me here to write them. Look at chapter 4, the last part of chapter 4. He asked them to remember him in his bonds. Verse 18, salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. And like he signs off on every epistle, grace be with you. He begins it with grace and ends it with grace. Amen. But don't turn away yet. Look underneath then. It was written from Rome to the Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. You remember that story in Philemon? Onesimus was that runaway slave. Philemon, his servant, that apparently stole from him and ran away, an ungrateful, rebellious servant. He ran away. Well, he ended up in Rome. And somehow he heard Paul preach the gospel. Maybe somebody took him down to the jail. Maybe he was in jail. And he heard Paul preach the gospel, and the Lord saved that young fellow. So that's why Paul was in jail, like at Philippi, to save the jailer. So, and then the Lord, and Paul wrote this epistle and gave it to Onesimus to deliver to the church at Colossae. What a wonderful errand that he was called on to do. So Paul was in prison by God's own purpose, and for his glory and for his kingdom. Everything, all things work together according to that purpose and for our good. We just don't see it at the time. It may be an extremely difficult trial like Paul's at the time. Any trial, most trials are fiery trial, difficult trial, painful trial, grievous trial. But they're found, Peter said, unto praise and honor and glory. Like Brother Scott said, if we knew what God knows, we would order our lives exactly like he ordered them. We wouldn't change a thing. And someday we're going to know perfectly. And we're going to thank him for every trial. Because every joy or trial cometh, falleth from above. Traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. And they who trust him wholly find him wholly true. So let's trust him in all things. Paul did. Paul did. So he wrote this in prison. Colossae, now listen to this. Here's a little bit of history. Colossae was a fairly large city, 15 miles from Laodicea. You remember the church at Laodicea, the letter to the Laodiceans in the Revelation. All right, 15 miles, like here in Boone's Mill. Paul did not go to either place. He did not preach either place. He never did go there. He wanted to. And he makes that plain here that they never saw his face before. Both cities, 6 years after this, were completely destroyed by an earthquake. Completely destroyed by an earthquake. They're not there anymore. There's some ruins. They rebuilt them, but it fell again. What's the lesson in that? The sobering truth is that this city, any city, is insignificant except for the gospel being there. If the gospel's there, that's the main thing in. Because everything is going, there's not going to be one stone left standing on another. All the works, all the major cities, everything on this earth is going to crumble. And what's important? The gospel was here at Laodicea. And there were believers, there were saints there. There were saints. What about this city? Will this one fall in 6 years from now? Maybe. Those people didn't think it did. It happened all of a sudden. Big earthquake. All right, verse 1. By the Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a messenger of Jesus Christ, Christ chose his apostle. The qualification, as you know, for an apostle were that Christ had to choose them. He chose each one of his apostles. Remember after Judas hung himself and the apostles got together and said, we've got to choose somebody, a successor to Judas. No, you don't, fellas. You just wait, you'll see. Well, they did, and they cast lots. That's not how it's done. But they did. And Matthias, well, you never ever hear from him again. It was Paul. Christ chose his apostle. They had to see the Lord. They had to actually see the Lord and receive their ministry from him. Paul did that on the road to Damascus, remember? He said, I was one born out of due time and I saw him later than the other apostle. And thirdly, they were given extraordinary supernatural gifts, powers to heal the sick, to heal the blind, to raise the dead. And these were proofs that God had called them and sent them. There are no more apostles. There are no more apostles. Okay, anybody that claims to is a false apostle. So, Paul said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. They were chosen by Christ, messengers sent by Christ. What was their message? Christ. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, whom we preach. We preach not ourselves, Paul said, but Christ Jesus the Lord and our servant for his sake, your servant. All right, by the will of God, everything is by the will of God. Ephesians 1:11 says that. He worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad nothing's left to chance? Everything is according to the will of God. And Timotheus, he writes and includes young Timothy. Timothy was his constant traveling companion, a faithful young man. One time he said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate like Timothy. I thought about Cody Henson. Same thing. If he and I were traveling all over, I could say the same thing about him. He has a genuine heart for the truth and for God's people. And it comes out that way. Well, Timothy, Paul included Timothy. He said, he's our brother. Don't you love that term, brother? Brother. You never had a brother, did you? You got lots of them now. Lots of them. Oh, my. Our brother. To the saints, verse 2. Saints and faithful brethren in Christ. The saint. This is one of the names, or this is how the Lord refers to his people more than any other. Saints. Saints. Sanctified one. And I always like to go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's go there, okay? 2 Thessalonians 2. I always think of this verse when I think of the saints or sanctified ones. That's what saint means. Now, all of God's people are saints. They're not high saints and low saints. They're all saints. Sanctified ones. Set apart by the Spirit of God through the gospel. Verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And this is what he said to the Colossians. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved, for love, beloved, the bride of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, chosen to save you through sanctification of the Spirit, set apart by the Spirit of God from other people. Chosen of God, called, predestined, given this faith by the, look at this, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto this salvation he called you by our gospel. That's how you heard. That's how you were called. That's how you were set apart. You heard the truth. The truth. You're going to hear Paul say the grace of God in truth. The true grace of God. Not an offer. An act. The mighty power of God upon you and in you and for you. An act of God. Grace of God. Yes, I'm going to quote the rest of it, John. I can't wait. This is all to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Few people are interested in his glory. All of God's people are. That's why we're here tonight. The praise of the glory of his grace. All right, go back to chapter 1 of Colossians. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Faithful. No, we don't think of ourselves as faithful, do we? In fact, we all think, feel like we're unfaithful. But just break the word down, okay? Faithful, full of faith. What is faith? Is faith something you do? Is faith a work? No. What is faith? Faith's not a what. Faith is trusting someone. That's all faith is. It's trusting someone. Oh yes, faith works. Faith without works is dead. Worketh by love. But faith, the essence of faith is this, is looking to God, to Christ, trusting him. That's not a work. It's the one you're trusting in. All right. If I were to ask every believer in this room, what is your hope of eternal life? What is all your hope of salvation? What is your righteousness? What is your sanctification? What is your redemption? If you hope to be with God someday, forgiveness of sin, pardon, what is your hope? Every person in here would give me the same answer. Christ.
Amen.
Then you're full of faith. Is that all your hope? Christ? You know, in him dwelleth all the fullness. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You're full of faith. You ever thought of it like that? And faithful means true. It does, doesn't it? It means true. God's people are true to his glory and his honor. and fear. Their hearts are united in his fear. God's people are true. This is how you know them from the rest. God's people have God's glory foremost in their mind. His name, his glory. They are true to him. True to him. Faithful brethren in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Does that sound familiar? It's everywhere in the scriptures. In Christ. This is salvation in two words, isn't it? In Christ. Paul said in the Philippians, "Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in him." And you know, it's like those people in the ark, Noah's ark. Why were they saved? Because they were found in the ark. How'd they get there? God put them there. The animals, every animal that was saved why? Because they were in the ark. How'd they get there? Noah went out and called them, and God made them willing. He changed their nature. A lion won't come when you call it. He'll eat you up. Well, they did when Noah called them, and they were in that ark. Well, that's salvation, to be found in Christ. In Christ, like that ark. Look at verse 14. In whom? And we don't have to go to Ephesians 1. We can just stay here. In whom we have redemption. We cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot undo anything we've ever done. We can't pay for one sin we've ever paid for. Jesus Christ paid it all. In whom? He's the payment. We're redeemed in him, by him. Look at verse 19. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Chapter 2, verse 3. In whom? In whom? In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know that. You know that. You know how few people know that? Why do you know that? Look at verse 27 of chapter 1. Whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's us. Which is Christ in you. In you. Faithful. You have him in you. Your hope of glory. So look at chapter 2 verse 9. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete. Where? In him. Which is the head of all principality and power. In whom? Also, you're circumcised. We're made a Jew, a true Jew, a true child of God by the circumcision of Christ on Calvary's tree. So, it's a mystery, but it's true. In him. In him. Cannot really be explained, but it's certainly true. Let me give you this illustration. I've given it to you before. I used it in Kingsport. It's seemed to be a blessing. It's a good one. But there were two ladies they were expecting. Tracy, that baby's born now. But now Lauren Weishe, Tony Moody's daughter, is expecting a child. A mother that has a child in her, that's a living child in it. As soon as conception starts, it's a living child, okay? And that child in her, as she is, so is that child. Does her father love her? Well, he must love the child. He's in her. The child is in her. That woman, Lauren, wherever she goes, that baby goes. If someone accepts her, they have to accept the baby. They can't say, well, you can come in, but your baby can't. Or I love you, but not. No, 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 no. And Christ, you remember in the garden, Christ said, if you seek me, let these go. We're in him. We're in his heart, in his mind, in his love, in his covenant, engraved on the palm of his hand. and in him with a union that we cannot understand. But we're in him, right? We're seated with him. We're in him. But that mother, okay, whatever she does, the baby does that. Her works are the child's works. That's the best I can do with that. In him. In him. So is this mystery, this mysterious union that is in Christ. And someday, real recently, Tracy, today, gave birth to this child. And someday, we're going to be born into this new world, this new kingdom that we, right now, we can't see. We see through, like a child in a womb. You see through a glass darkly or dimly, but one day, a new creature, Miranda. Oh my, won't that be wonderful? So this is to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. This is not to the world. This was not written to the world. This is how false preachers corrupt, deal deceitfully with the word of God, is they apply it to everyone without exception. That's lying on God and lying to men and women. This is written to the church. Remember Christ said in John 17, 9, I pray not to the Father. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Thine they were, thine they are. And Paul is writing to his church, God's church. All right, like you write a letter and you address it to whomever you're writing it to. That's who you write it to. And if someone else picked it up and started applying it to them, you'd be angry, wouldn't you? They have no part or lot in that matter. This is to those to whom he wrote it. Okay? And this is to his church. We pray, we hope for others to be brought into his church. But they're not going to be unless they hear the gospel. All right. This is to the saints and faithful brethren at Colossae. Grace, hear these blessed words. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Brother Tony Moody, they adopted two Chinese daughters, you know, and one of them is 13 years old now. Can you believe that? Well, the other one's 11, 10 or 11. They named the second one Grayson. Grace and peace. He liked the sound of grace and peace so much. That's what he told me. Grace and peace. This is the gospel. This sums up the gospel, doesn't it? By grace are you saved. By grace. Grace not an offer, an act of God, a work of God, a gift of God. Grace, by grace are you saved. Grace bestowed, the power of God. The gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ, the gift of forgiveness of sin by Christ crucified, life given. You don't offer life. You can't offer life. It has to be given, has to be bestowed. The gift of repentance is the goodness of God that leads us to that. Faith is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Fruit, all these things are the grace of God. He giveth, he is a God of all grace. By grace are you saved. By grace you say. And peace. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. God is angry with the wicked every day. God hates all workers of iniquity. God is going to destroy a world full of sinners. But I'm a sinner. And I was ungodly. I didn't have any use for God. I didn't have any thoughts of God. I was just such were some of you. But God. Gracious and merciful. Look at verse 20. It says that Christ made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, things in earth, things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your own, in your mind by wicked work, now hath Jesus Christ reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Through death. And it says he came and preached this peace, this gospel of peace to you. We don't make our peace with God. You've heard that so many times, haven't you? If somebody on their deathbed and the preacher goes and pulls a confession of faith out of them on their deathbed, and the preacher, like notching something up, like notching an animal that he bagged on his belt, and that's what they do, because they're corrupt. And they say, he made his peace with God. Accepted Jesus. No, you don't make peace with God. Peace is only made one way. Right. And we just read it. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ said to his disciple, before he left, he said, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. I'm going to the cross to make peace with God for you. And he will forever be at peace with you. Why? For Christ's sake. And my peace I give unto you. Peace that by believing him. All right. Grace and peace from God our Father. Oh my. I heard my dad preach recently. An old message. He was pretty fiery when he was young. Real fiery. Boanerges, son of thunder. People don't have much taste for that anymore, do they? Well, I do. A buddy, he started talking about, he said, these preachers say, tell people God loves you. He said, do you know what it means if God loves you? If God loves you? That means he'll save you. That means he'll love you forever. Love never fails. It's perfect love. It's love that cast out fear. You will not be cast out. If God loves you, he's never cast out anybody he's ever loved. No, he saves them all. If God loves you, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with that unspeakable gift give us all things? If God loves you, he'll do everything for you. God is our Father. How? Through Jesus Christ. He's the first begotten of many brethren. The firstborn among many sons. How is God our Father? James said, of his own will begat he us through the word of truth, that we might be a first kind of first fruits of his creatures, his workmanship. By the word of truth, the gospel, Peter said. The gospel. So, God is our Father, born again, adopted, begotten of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. I may not get past verse. Well, look at this. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always for you. Why is he calling the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's who he is. Because that's what he did. That's what he does. That's who he is. That's who we worship. And that's what we call him. That's how you know who fears him. Because no man calls him Lord but by the Spirit of God. He's our Lord Jesus Christ in that order. Barnard used to say, you can't have Jesus as your Savior unless he's first your Lord. Paul didn't know if the Lord was going to save him or kill him. Saul of Tarsus. He said, Lord. When he found out this Jesus is Lord. And he was in his hands to do with as he pleased. He called him, Lord, what will you do with me? He's the Lord. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Christ, our Messiah, our covenant head. The whole message in those three words, those three names. The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Now we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. You really love someone if you pray for them. And we're told to pray without ceasing. We're told to pray for all men. You read that in 1 Thessalonians 5. Be patient with all. We're told to pray. And you've heard it said so many times that you cannot be mad at or hold a grudge with anybody that you're praying for. And our Lord, so our Lord tells us to pray for them that despitefully use you. Now that's humanly impossible. We've all been mistreated. We've all been done wrong, we think. And it's hard to pray for somebody like that. Well, our Lord tells us to. And what does it do? It breaks down the enmity in us. And you don't know that that enemy, just like us, might become our dearest friend. The whole church was scared to death of Saul of Tarsus, weren't they? They weren't praying for him. They were praying God would kill him. God saved him. And do I need to remind? Yes, I do need to remind us all that when Christ was hanging on the cross, the first words out of his mouth, "Father, forgive them." The very ones that spit in his face, the very ones that hurled insults at him, the very ones that killed him, he prayed for them. What did God do? He saved thousands. And they became his friends, reconciled by the blood of his cross. He did that to me. If he saved me, he can save anybody. So pray for all men. So he said, we pray always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have to all the saints, for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Paul says, we heard, verse 7, we learned of Epaphras. Epaphras was a preacher here at Colossae, maybe the pastor. We don't know for sure. We don't even know who brought the gospel there. Somebody did, maybe Epaphras, because they heard it preached. And Paul said that. And everyone must. But he came back and he told Paul when in prison, he said, Paul, you're going to rejoice, brother. I went to Colossae, a city near Laodicea. There's a group of people meeting there, and Paul, they believed. Several of them believed the truth. And they asked me to baptize them, just like you heard of Brian and Matt and Trevor and Thomas, I think his name is. Didn't that rejoice your heart? It doesn't have to be somebody in our midst, does it? Won't we rejoice if the Lord... Can you think of anything that rejoices your heart more? Did you hear so-and-so's son believes Christ? That rebel. God broke his heart, broke down that enmity. And he's sitting in the church house worshiping, singing those hymns. He confessed Christ in believer's baptism. Can you think of anything that would give you more joy? Because there's nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Oh, let's pray to that end, brethren. Let's pray to that end. That purpose. The one thing needful. Salvation. So he said, we heard of your faith in Christ, the love you have to all the saints. Faith and love go together. If you believe Christ, you love his word, you love his truth, you love his salvation, let such as love thy salvation say, the Lord be magnified. You love his salvation. You love his word. You love his truth. There's not one word in this book you don't love. Some people don't want to hear words like election, predestination. We do. And we say it loud. Because this was my salvation. And we love his truth. We love his word. We love his kingdom. We love his worship. We love to sit here and hear his word. We love his people. We are brethren now, aren't we? You are the only friends I really have in Franklin County, Virginia. And I mean that. I got some good neighbors and some people that I know and all that, but they're not my companions. You are. And what a joy. What a fellowship. Brother Gabe preached on 1 John 1 is truly our fellowship with the Father and with His Son. You can socialize with people, but you can't fellowship except in Jesus Christ. All right. He says, we heard of the hope you have. You now have hope. And it's laid up for you in heaven. We heard of your faith, your love, and the hope that is laid up for you. You heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel that came unto you as it come in all the world. And bring forth this fruit of faith. Since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God into this hope that's laid up in heaven. And the only reason it's called hope, people, is because it's not fully realized yet. But it's not like, I sure hope this is true. That's not the hope. That's not the way this is used. I hope this is true. I sure hope this Bible's true. That's not faith. I know this book is true. Don't you? Sure you do. It's his word. It's his voice. He speaks to us. He lives in us and speaks to him. We commune with him. He with us. And the world says that's foolishness. Well, okay. But we're fools for Christ's sake. But it's not like I hope. Cross my fingers, hope. No. It's called hope because we're not there yet. We're not on the other side yet. But it's a good hope, Scripture said, through grace. It's a sure hope. A hope is in a person, a living person. It's not in a creed, it's not in a doctor, it's not in a church, it's not in a denomination, it's not in me, not in the preacher, not in a profession of faith. It's in a person, a living, reigning, ruling, communing, speaking person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. We don't trust the sweetest frame or anything, any feelings, anything. We wholly lean on his precious name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. This is how a man can go to his death. And the last words he said, I'm standing on the rock. Person. That's why you don't go out of this life kicking and screaming. You go out with peace. Why? Because you've got a person under, you're in his everlasting arms. He's your hope. It's not like I hope. No. Christ is our hope. It's a good hope because he's within the veil. He's within the veil. And I started to, you know, I started to preach tonight from 1 Corinthians 15. We might do that Sunday. Start thinking about, in Adam all die. Death. Start thinking about death. We're all going to die. Paul, everywhere he went, preached the resurrection. Every time he preached, he stood up. In Acts, all of his messages in Acts, he stood up and declared a living Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I thought he was dead too. I thought he was dead and I was glad. But God, I found out he's alive. I found out in him I live and move and have my being. And he preached everywhere a living person. Jesus Christ. So our hope of eternal life is a living person. And we're going to see. Maybe we'll look at that Sunday. But every eye is going to see him. Like my wife told that fellow who said, I don't believe that. I don't believe any of that. She said, you're going to find out. Because every eye shall see him. You believe that? Who said that? He said it. I am alive forevermore. I was dead and now I'm alive. And behold, I come quickly. And God's people say, hallelujah. And we're waiting on him. A real person. Fools? Wise in him, aren't we? He's made us wise. All right, stand with me. Our Father in heaven, blessed be thy holy name. We bless you for your word. We bless you for your truth. The word of truth, the gospel of our salvation that's in Christ Jesus. Oh, we worship a living Lord. How thankful we are that you've revealed yourself in us. Christ in us. And Lord, we want, like Paul though, to know you more. Oh, that I might know Christ, that I might win Christ, be found in Him. That we have not yet apprehended, but we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. And that's why we're here tonight, Lord. We need to hear from You, and we have. We've heard from Your blessed Word, and we believe more than when we came because of Your Word. This is Your Word. It's the truth as it is in You, and we bless You for it. It's our peace. It's our hope. It's our comfort. You are our hope, our peace, our comfort. Thank You, Lord. We ask that You would speak to our sons, our daughters, our unsaved spouses, our unsaved fathers and mothers, our neighbors, people in the community. Lord, use the means You've given us. Call out sheep out of this world into Your fold for Your glory, for Your honor, for our rejoicing. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed name. Amen. You're dismissed.